This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, so welcome everybody. This is the second time I've been to this show, but you know, from last year to this year, somehow it's even better for me. Dan and Holly and all the people, thank you, Holly. They worked so hard putting this thing together, and all of the staff and all their volunteers and support people over the whole time. I know it's a very difficult thing to do. Somebody said I need to be louder. Okay, well, I could talk up. So again, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate being here. It's my pleasure. Yesterday when I got up, I had a little, I was a little verklempt or whatever they say. You know, I got up, and maybe it was allergies or whatever. I don't really get sick, thankfully. And when I got up yesterday morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning to go to my flight, there was a split second where I said, I don't feel so good. Maybe I'm not going. I says, what are you, out of your mind? You're going to be dead not to go. So, you know, I felt a lot better once I got here. So I think it's all the pinball medicine that I got. I'm fine. Whoever used the microphone next, I would disinfect it because possibly there's some germs. I don't know. I don't think so. So anyway, we're getting closer to having real games, which is the goal of our company, is not just to design a game, but it's actually to build a game, right? So a lot of you have been on this journey, and just, you know, just a quick show of hands, who ordered games? Who ordered Wizard of Oz? So, wow. So that's pretty cool. So, you know, in the beginning, there was a lot of faith based on my reputation and then based on people like Greg and Dennis and Joe and Keith and all the people we brought into the company of what we would be creating, something really great. I will say that the game that we're building today is really not the game I thought we were building a year ago. I don't know what happened to that game, but it turned into something so much bigger, so much greater, so much more complicated, so much more expensive, believe it or not, on a lot of different levels, because when we started doing things and we saw the result, we said, yeah, but you know, if we do this, it could be that result. And we went to that next level and we added more things to the game that we were still actually adding very recently to the game. So features of the game, while we said we want to build mechanical action games, we want to bring new technology to the game as well. So, you know, we released the artwork to the playfield a few weeks ago. We showed playfields in production last week. And there were a lot of comments on our group that all of the inserts were clear inserts. So they're all clear inserts because there's no light bulbs on the playfield. There are colored LEDs on the playfield. And the game has about 12 RGB LEDs. So those LEDs, you can make them be in any color. So for us and for our future, we really don't see the reason to have light bulbs, you know, on the playfield of the game. So that's something I haven't said before today. There were some assumptions about that. So if on a pinball machine you had a yellow insert on the playfield, we knew it was always going to be yellow. Well, you know, now if we make a lot of those inserts, and on some games we want to use purple and some games we want to use red or green, depending on what theme, we could just have different color LEDs in the game. Eventually, at some point, you know, if it's on game number 2 or game number 3, we're going in a different direction where, you know, we'll expand the use of the RGB LEDs in the game. So that's something that is going to be a little bit different. The mechanical part of the game, the spinning house, the melting witch. Today I'll show you the witch, how she was a few weeks ago, and why we changed her around even at this stage. And there are certain things that even though we've started building assemblies, sub-assemblies, and you know, upper play fields, things like that, that we've started already, there are still some things that we get a chance, not too much longer though, to play with and change and modify and make a little bit better. And we're still continuing to do some of that, although that's kind of died down now. So everything that we know we're doing is pretty much there. We're going to have games on location by Memorial Day, and we'll announce where they are so that if you get to go play them, there'll be some on the East Coast, there'll be some on the West Coast. We're going to be doing a trade show in June with the game. We'll be very public about that. For the people that won't get to play a game, unfortunately, you'll get to play it through YouTube in a way. So you'll get to see it and understand what it is and what we're doing. And I'm just going to promise you that I'm going to make a promise of what I didn't promise. We're going to over-deliver and under-promise what the product is. Because right now, you don't really know what the product is. Our competitor doesn't know what the product is. They don't know what we're really building. Okay, and there's been a reason for that. Because we want to keep certain things secret. We want to keep certain things a surprise. When you get your game and you open it up, we want you to be excited. You know, the journey has been my reward, you know, this past year or so, where I got to help build a community of people that really believed in what we were doing in designing the game. But now, you know, the next stage is building a game. And it's a lot of fun. It's very exciting for me personally. It's exciting for our people because now, you know, certain people that started early, they're almost done on their, you know, with what they have to contribute to the game. You know, people like Greg, he's just about done with everything. Joe Balser is just about done. People like Keith, you know, his part still continues right now as he continues programming the game. And you know, certain other people in the company. In New Jersey, we have a 42,000 square foot building that when we went in there at first, it looked like this huge thing that how are we going to fill it? And now as thousands of parts arrive and as things get organized and cataloged and you have a production line, the buildings, I'm not saying it's full, but the building's filling up with things. You know, more and more stuff arrives, and it's pretty cool to see that happen. So it's very exciting for us. I'm very fortunate. I feel very blessed. I thank God for everything I've been able to do, especially at this stage of my life, having done this for 36 years and still be able to create a brand new multi-million dollar company that's providing a product that you all want. So that's really a lot of fun. You know, you see companies a lot of times, they go create the greatest thing they could think of, and then their problem is they need to have marketing people to figure out who to sell it to. So, you know, I had a completely different thing. I had a vision of creating something and giving everybody what you don't even know you want yet. Okay, so our message is always a message of hope. Our message is always something that's positive. Our message is always something, if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to show you that not only I could do it, but everybody on our team could do it. Okay, so the good thing for me is going to be that I won't have to talk about the game, you know, in a matter of weeks. It's not a matter of months or years anymore. You know, I could just stand back, and my greatest joy is going to be watching people play the game and seeing their reaction and hear what they have to say about it. And, you know, we believe, and when we started, we believe we're building the greatest pinball machine ever. And there's a simple reason for that. First, because we need to believe that. If we believe we were building a piece of junk, we're going to build a piece of junk. So what's happened through the whole process, as I said, we're not building a game with a calculator. We're building it with passion, right? Well, those lines, sometimes they got used by vendors when they quoted us prices. And they told different people in our company, well, Jack doesn't care about what this part costs because he's not building games with a calculator. That's not exactly what I meant. You know, we have gone back to vendors. We have gotten some price considerations changed. I'll tell you that the economy is getting better, no matter what anybody tells you. I had to go to a plastic supplier of ours a few weeks ago. I placed a purchase order with them in November for parts that we still didn't get as of 3 weeks ago. And the guy said to me, well, if it was 2 years ago, you would have got your parts. So he's basically saying to me, well, when the economy was really bad and we had nothing to do, you would have got your parts. So isn't that an interesting thing? And he told me, well, you know, you may have to wait a little bit. And I said, when I gave you a check for $60,000 4 months ago as a deposit, you really didn't wait to deposit that check in the bank. So I want all my parts by next week. And we got everything. It took a visit from me. And that attitude, yeah, it's a Brooklyn attitude more than maybe Jersey Jack attitude because I'm from Brooklyn. Where's Eric? Brooklyn. It's Eric, right? Best pizza, best everything, right? So, you know, when you have a company like this that pinballsales.com, we sell everything nobody needs, right? So a lot of the vendors, if I get into that for one moment, I just didn't even want to touch on it, but I weave myself into it. Pinball to them is not really their primary business anymore, because pinball, when they made parts and there were four or five manufacturers, it really got a lot of respect. But the guys that actually stayed in business, they stayed in business by doing stuff other than pinball. So to go to them with orders and things like that, it's nice. It's extra business for them. It's really not their livelihood. They care about us, but, you know, it's rough. And, you know, you'll hear from other people about, you know, how difficult it is to build things. It's difficult to do anything today. It's difficult to get out of bed some days, I think, for some people. But, you know, if you don't continue and you don't have a passion for it, you're not going to be successful doing it. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a few questions. Then I have Greg is going to show some of his work that hasn't been shown yet. And then we'll see where we go. All right? So do I have any questions from anybody so far? All right. That's this guy's a troublemaker. Yeah. Yeah, Brian Kelly. What did he say? Okay. So the plan, you know, and it gets moved around, obviously. I have the least patience. We're looking at delivering games in July. We're looking at having games that we're building. Aside from right now, you know, we're putting games on location, you know, say for Memorial Day that weekend. So we got all of June. You know, it could be June, but I would say July. We're saying a little bit later. Don't be surprised if it's sooner, you know, than later. It's certainly not going to be August, September, October, November, December. It's not going to be Christmas. Yeah, I know. But listen, you heard stuff that we were never going to sell 1,000 games. You heard stuff that we weren't going to build games. You hear all kinds of stuff. So, you know, don't believe everything you hear from all kinds of different places. Okay? Greg, so come on up. Let me fire up the old iPad. This is Greg Ferris, everybody.
Hello. How are you? So Jack asked me yesterday if I'd like to show the next phase of the artwork here. So the plastics are approved by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers, of course, has to inspect everything that we do. And we finally got approval from them after about a three-week wait. So I think Jack's got this on his iPod here. So what I did here when I sent this to Warner Brothers, because, you know, if they're not used to seeing a pinball machine, they don't get the idea of plastics, that they're islands of plastic around the playfield. So what I did is I dimmed the playfield and let the plastics kind of be in place where they belong. So so this is kind of what we've got. Over on the left side, where there's no place like home, but also the crystal ball, I went back to a more sepia tone look from Dorothy's moment in the movie where she leaves home and she meets the Professor Marvel. So I wanted to make sure Professor Marvel got his due in there, and Dorothy is, you know, looking at the rest of the playfield kind of and thinking ahead. So then for the actual feature of No Place Like Home, you know, when she's leaving the Emerald City, the balloon, the hot air balloon takes off. So I wanted to kind of capitalize on that mantra that she to get back home. So I've placed There's No Place Like Home three times, twice on the play field and now once on the plastic, and the whole clicking her heels together to get back home is represented on that plastic. And then the two slingshot plastics, I used the opposing factions, the Winky Guard on the left, because that's the dark side of the playfield, and the Emerald City Guard on the right, because that's the happy side of the playfield, for lack of a better term. There's some plastics on a game that are kind of difficult to design around for an artist. So the return lane on the right there, I added the three awards that the three characters get from the Wizards. So I placed those there. Over on the right for the total rollovers on the out lane, I have the moment from the movie where the Wizard actually gets exposed. And I took some liberties and enhanced it. Toto actually opens the curtain, but that scene is so, the plastic was so tiny that I had to kind of enhance that and bring Toto up to the foreground to kind of say, hey, look what I just did. So, and they approved that, so that's cool. Let's go up to the Twister. So the mini play field that represents the house, the spinning house, it's a very tight play field. There's not much room there, and we actually ran out of room to include inserts on that play field, mechanically speaking. There just wasn't enough room, so we built a plastic that will represent the four Munchkin modes on the mini play field. So this will help you keep track of the modes that you enter. So Munchkin Multiball, Lollipop Lullaby, the Munchkin Frenzy, and Welcome to Munchkin Land are all represented on this plastic. So those will light up as you progress through each Munchkin mode. Then up at the top, there's so much going on with the mini play fields that most of what you see up at the top is hard to see once the game is all assembled. So these are just fillers of color, just to put something on the plastic, and they're so buried that it really isn't necessary to fill it with specific art. So that's just kind of filler up there. Let's go up by the Winky. Oh, okay. The Haunted Forest. This is going to be a vertical plastic that sits inside the forest by the skill shot. There's a skill shot target inside the forest that's a cross shot from the other flipper. So this is from the movie, and it's just another piece of art that will live in the Haunted Forest. And then the monkeys, there's two monkey targets inside the forest that you have to hit to qualify the magnet up at the top. So these two targets represent the winged monkey. I'm sorry if I said flying monkey. The winged monkeys. Hey there, how? That was a nice surprise. All right, we'll get to that. And then the other last part of this is the I just put some rocks and stuff near the Winky Guard target to kind of tie in with what was going on the playfield there. Again, a lot of this will be hard to see once the game is assembled because of the other playfield that sits on top of this. But as an artist, sometimes I get carried away with things, and then when I see the game in person, I go, oh, yeah, that's covered. Oh, well. So there's a bunch of rocks there. So that's the plastics. I don't know. What do you think? Thank you.
I spend a lot of time on my knees, so it doesn't really hurt. I've been praying a lot, or begging for things to happen. So between that, I have no problem being on my knees for that time. So, to people who build pinball machines all the time, it's not a really exciting thing. It's not like we're going to go issue a press release every time a flipper coil falls off a shelf or something. But almost everything we do the first time down the road is kind of monumental to us because we didn't do it before. I'm hoping that in the second game, some things we know will be easier, but I hope that we retain the excitement and the passion that we have in this first game for all these different things that we're doing, because it's really cool. So somebody else might say, well, we make that stuff all the time and that's no big deal. But what we paid very close attention to on our cabinet and on our play field. And Greg, especially with the cabinet, well, actually, Greg with the artwork on the play field and the plastic set, and Jerry Vanderstelt on the cabinet, is that you won't see any screws or bolts through somebody's head or through their side or in their private parts or any other place like that where they don't really belong. So the thought process of designing this as full stream, I don't like to see hardware, okay? I've had the guys make hardware black because I don't want to see it. It costs more money, okay? I'm not a big fan of seeing a lot of wires on the playfield itself. There may be a spot on the playfield where, you know, there are optos or different switches where there are going to be some wires and they're going to be dressed. I don't see a reason why this game can't be a work of art. Okay, so that's the collector in me and the crazy person who wants to take the thing to a different level. Is it necessary for a coin-operated amusement device to be at that level? Certainly not. It does create different problems for us, too. So, you know, if everything's at a higher level, it's going to cost more, and it's going to take more effort and more time and more care to do these things. I believe it's worth doing that. And what I'm hoping is that our customer base and our player base believes that it's worth doing that as well. Because if Greg is drawing the artwork for the first time, and he doesn't know where screws... Oh, that's my kids. Where screws are going, you know, what's so difficult for him? Because if you actually look on this plastic, if I can expand it, you could see little circles where the screws go to affix that. So he just didn't put anything there. They're on a background. Now, again, that may not seem like a real big deal, because when you see this game for the first time, you're going to absorb almost nothing. You're going to be wowed, hopefully, okay, when you see the game. But all the little details that are going into this, I didn't have to come up with all of them. All the people on the team came up with them because they understood what we were trying to accomplish. And I didn't have to go back to Greg and say, you know, he didn't talk to Joe, and this is where a screw is, and you put this, you know, the face of the Winky guard, and there's a screw going right through his cheek. So even in our cabinets, there's no bolts going through the cabinet on the outside to secure anything inside the cabinet. The only bolts on the cabinet itself going in is to secure the frame of the coin door. So, again, you know, a couple of little minor things that may mean nothing, it meant a lot to us in creating that and engineering that and testing it and making sure it was right. And it was more expensive to do. So, and it took more time to do. And the better story that I'm going to be able to tell is in a couple of months, where we can start to tell a story about how we did this or how we did that instead of what we are doing or what we're going to do. Because, you know, not that I'm getting tired of hearing it, but I'm getting tired of saying it. So I have probably the least amount of patience, Brian, because I'm doing this longer than everybody else on the group. And, you know, I want the game. And my only benefit is that I've gotten to play the game with certain other people on the team, so I kind of understand a little bit more about what it is. Any questions from anybody? Yes. What type of art was not approved? Okay. Yeah, you know, there's always these things, and I see Gary here, so when you see him at 3 o'clock, he'll expand on that too, because you always have licensor that sometimes somebody will give you a license, and they really don't care what you do to it, as long as they got their money. With a license like this, did I know? Well, he says no. But some are more lenient than others. Let's say that, okay? They all care. I shouldn't say that, because the lawyer in him is shaking his head no. And I think at some point, Gary and I are going to go on the road together, and we're going to do a whole tour together, you know, in a year or so, when we have nothing to do, and let everybody build games in our respective factories, and we'll go on this whole tour. And I could see that, because we both love to eat. We're professional eaters, both of us. So that's a good thing. So in this case, they didn't own rights to certain things, like the Munchkin faces, you know. So back in the day, they didn't think of signing somebody off to use their image and likeness. So Greg had a lot of difficulty with Munchkins. Although they have a style guide that you can use, you know, he wanted to do something different. So, you know, it's a battle, and then there's a compromise, because I was hoping our artwork for the playfield was approved 6 weeks before it actually was. Did that hold us back? I want to say it didn't. In reality, you know, I thought the guy making the plastic inserts for the playfield was all done. He's the guy that held us back 3 weeks. So that's what it is. Welcome to manufacturing. That's what it is. You know, it is what it is. Some of it's going to travel on its own time frame, no matter what I say. But, you know, I mean, all in all, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again, too. I haven't. The one good thing with me, I haven't regretted one day of this yet, and hopefully I won't. So, who else? Yeah, there will be a second game, but I'm not announcing what it is right now. I don't think it's a cool idea to talk about the second game when you haven't built your first game. I know that's been done already, so I've been scooped on that, too. But, you know, there will be a second game, and we have two alternatives for a second game. We have one license that we're... we have two different licenses. Let me just leave it that way. And I'm going to see which way the wind blows, which direction I go. We're probably going to sign both licenses, and one might be a game four or a game three, whatever. So I really definitely don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, and I know when Gary gets asked that question, he's got a good answer that I agree with, because a licensed game brings a lot to the table. It lets you tell the people what it's going to be. You know, it lets your European customers know what's going on. But we're going to do a non-licensed game. We're going to do a theme, but it's not going to be a license. So I don't know what number game that would be, and I don't know who would do it. But there are other designers that have come to me with ideas for games that are not a license. So instead of us spending $100,000 or $150,000 plus, you know, to do a license, the money could be put in a different direction. So it could go towards different assets. So in The Wizard of Oz, we've shown some of the animation that JP created in Holland. And, you know, that has a cost to it. There's, you know, when I started this, I knew a lot less than I know now. And I'll know a lot more tomorrow than I know today. And that's the good thing. We try to learn every day, right? I try not to be the smartest guy in the room. I really try to be the dumbest guy in the room and surround myself with a lot of smart people that I could look to for answers, okay? Sometimes they have to come to me for an answer, though. You know, and it's okay. But going back to that, you know, having a non-licensed game, you can go out there, you can play a whole load of games that they have no license. They're just a fun game to play. And the whole idea of the game, it's got to be fun. You could have, you know, Harry Potter. You could have a great theme and still make a crappy game. Well, it's a crappy game with a good theme. Oh, well, that's what it is. So, you know, we're trying to be very protective of the properties that we do license. We're trying to pay tribute. You know, a movie like this is 73 years old. This movie is going to celebrate its 75th anniversary in 2014. In 2014, I fully expect to still be building The Wizard of Oz, because that movie is going to be re-released in 3D in like 2,500 theaters. So new generations of people are going to find out about The Wizard of Oz. I don't think I could really go wrong with a 73 or 74 or 75 or 76-year-old movie. So for me, I think that was a good theme to pick. And plus what it did also, you know, a lot of themes, they play towards boys and the male testosterone that we know pinball, a lot of it was founded in. You know, the guys hanging around at the corner or at the bar. And it completely dissed the smarter sex, the women. You know, and it didn't give them something that they thought was cool to play. And I've gotten emails and phone calls from wives and girlfriends of people that ordered The Wizard of Oz saying thank you. You know, my daughter is, right? My daughter loves the movie. I love the movie. I want to play it. I want to do it. So it's really, really difficult to pick a theme and have it hit everybody. You're not going to hit everybody. But for my first game, I needed to have something that everybody would know and that we had a whole storyline. What's the storyline of the movie? Well, Dorothy's got to go home. So what do you think you have to do on the game? Right? You got to get Dorothy home. So you have Munchkin Land. You have an upper playfield with a spinning house. that you got to make a loop shot around the house and get the house to spin. When you get that house to spin at a certain revolution, Heath has it stopping, and it drops. And the legs of the Wicked Witch of the East pop out of there, okay? And then when different parts of the game, I don't want to give everything away, but different parts of the game, like there's a magnet. There's four magnets on this game, okay? The witch has two of them, and there's two more on them. So there's one part of the game where your ball goes around this loop shot, and it gets stopped by a magnet, and a flying monkey comes down and grabs that ball and takes it back up to the witch's castle and drops it behind the door. And now you have to get up to the witch's castle to free the ball, which is Dorothy, right? So you have to hit Winky Guard target. And when you hit it, it's going to come back up. When you hit it, it's going to come back up. When you hit it, it's going to come back up. There's one drop target on the game, and I love games with drop targets. I love Jack in the Box and all those games. There's one drop target and one ramp. Go figure, on a wide body game that has five flippers, two upper play fields, you know, four magnets, the whole kitchen sink and everything else that we could put in there. We have no more room to put anything in this game. You know, there's nothing else. So when you have all that mechanical action, it was easy for us to tell the story of the Wizard of Oz. If you said to me today, you know, I want to make a game that's about, I don't know, pick something. What's the story of that? You know, so you don't have all of that asset to work with. And I thought a year ago we were going to use the video screen to show movie clips. What do I know? I don't know. Yeah, we're going to show movie clips. We're not going to show just movie clips. You know, Greg found this guy, JP, that he hired back at Williams. The guy's amazing. And what we showed you is like nothing to what he did. It's just amazing what the guy did. Really. Well, that's what the monitor should be used for. Just like when Dennis, where's Dennis, said to me, we need a sound guy. What do we need a sound guy for? I mean, we licensed 78 songs in the movie. Can't we just play those? No, you need Chris Graner. Because it's amazing what the guy created. And, you know, the speech on the game, I thought we were using speech from the movie. Well, okay, what about pinball speech? So what happens when you want a character to say, multi-ball, jackpot? It's not going to sound right. Okay, so you need, in The Wizard of Oz, the case of The Wizard of Oz, it was worse because everybody knows what the witch sounds like. Everybody knows what the lion sounds like. Everybody knows those characters. It's not like a movie that just came out 6 months ago and maybe it sounds like Batman or it sounds like this guy or that guy. I don't know. Chris had to find people that really were impersonators. It wasn't even a voice characterization. It was that, and then, guess what? You talk about the licensed people. They had to approve all of this stuff. They had to approve the script. They had to hear the sound after these people went in the studio. And they had to critique everything. And the more people that heard it, the more people had opinions. It's a really wonderful thing. Because when one person hears it and says something, then they go to another person on their team, and they go to another. And Greg will tell you, look at Greg smiling. Greg's happiest day is when that artwork was approved for the playfield. Because we never thought it was going to get approved. Right? I mean, it was never going to end. And he's worked with all those kind of things. So, you know what? I picked a hard thing to do. Great. So I picked, we're going to build pinball machines. Yeah, I know. My grandmother wants to fly jets too. So you're going to build pinball machines. Okay, so we know the famous quote that goes with that. And you're going to do a theme like The Wizard of Oz, which I probably picked a very difficult theme to work with because it's very highly protected and guarded and everything like that. So, you know, maybe the second one will be easier. I hope. Next, anybody? Question? No? All right, maybe I'll show you guys one or two more things. My voice is holding up pretty well. All I do all day is talk anyway. Anybody here have Apple stock? Okay, we won't get into that. It was a bad week, it was a good week. Crazy, right? Okay, so here's a witch. It's not our witch. It was our witch for a little while. Okay? So, you know, what you haven't seen in pinball for a long time, and it wasn't because of... I guess there was no need for it, but, you know, there were a lot of pinball companies, and they were very secretive about what they used to do because they would steal things from each other. And, you know, we all know the history of how that works in industries and pinball. And then when there was only one pinball company, there was really no need. I mean, I remember visiting the factory, and if I took a Whitewood picture of a game, I really didn't release it to anybody because I didn't want somebody to get the wrong impression about what the game was going to be. Because the first, you can only get one chance to make a first impression. That's why I have not brought Whitewood games to shows. I'll bring Whitewood games to shows after we have real games. So then you can see the Whitewood game. Okay? It's okay for an established company to bring a Whitewood game somewhere, because then there's an expectation, well, they're already established and they've built something. And I know Gary does disagree with that. There is, you know, what I said is, you don't want to reveal the thing till it's ready to be revealed, because people are going to get the wrong impression, right?
Right.
So, you know, showing some of the things that we've done along the way, you know, has given some people the wrong impression. And I know that's a risk. So when we showed a certain rainbow plastic that Matt was playing around with and I showed it, you know, and people went crazy, and Matt got booed, you know, relentlessly, you know, people didn't say, well, okay, that was something in progress. I don't want that thing on my game. Well, that's not going on your game, so don't worry about it. But then there's other people that believe, because I complained, that's not going on my game. So whatever it is, you know, is what it is. So we just lost this again. So this witch, okay, so she sits in a real prominent place on the playfield where, you know, the idea is to melt her. And you're going to hit this target up in the front that'll have some graphics on it, right? At some point, that'll have something on it. We don't know. It will. I don't know. Because they get worn off. It may get some treatment, you know, that's, we're in the process right now. And this witch, when she melts into the playfield, all you see is her hat. So when Matt sculpted this several weeks ago, we liked it. It fit the mechanism. And I'll tell you a manufacturing story, because Gary will get a kick out of it. I'll just tell it for him. The person we hired to do the witch is a very well-known guy that does mechanical design of things. And we paid him what he wanted, and he said it would be 6 weeks. And it turned into 4 months. And we got something back that wasn't what we wanted. We wanted something that would accommodate a doll, you know, a three-dimensional toy. And what came back was something that could accommodate a decal. And there were some people that said, oh, to heck with it. Let's just do it. It's not a big deal, you know, whatever. And there were a lot of us that said, it is a big deal. We don't want that on the game. And we went back and we re-engineered the whole thing. And it took a long, long time to do that. And it was finally done, you know, a couple months ago. And it's gone through its process and everything like that. But it's another one of those things where we're not stopping at. And in this view of the witch, you know, she's pretty cool. She's going to be in a tube because, you know, we can't have, it's like Dennis's sneeze guard on Pirates of the Caribbean. We can't have an open toy like that because it's going to be ball traps and things like that. So she's going to be in a pretty cool tube, how we have her. And there's going to be a reveal to her. And she's going to be a little different. She's going to be like this, but you're going to be able to see her in a different way. But I still wanted to show her because a lot of people lately have said to me, hey, what's up with the witch we haven't heard or we haven't seen or whatever like that. So that's why we went to that. All right? Are there any questions about that at all? I don't think there would be, but okay. It's a witch. So just to put it in perspective where she is, you know, again, she's, you know, she's next to the Haunted Forest, which is kind of where the witch always popped out and caused trouble and everything like that. So she's next to the Haunted Forest with those bumpers that you've seen a couple of times. And there's two magnets under the playfield. So when you try to mess with the witch, she's going to mess with you. All right? And it's very, very cool what happens during gameplay and during rules and speech and different things like that. So, you know, to me, it was really well worth the effort and the extra aggravation to get her to be how we wanted her to be. Okay? Maybe there's one more thing I'll say. Before I talked about the songs that we licensed for the game, so this is a good friend of mine, Mark Tremonti. He's from Creed. He's a really big pinball guy. He's got a band, Alter Bridge. He also has a solo album that's out. There's songs on the internet. he's going to be doing one custom song for the game that's going to be in part of the game where if you get to hear the song he plays, you really achieve something. So it was really sweet for me to get him involved with the game too and use his talent and have his pinball ability kind of cross back to his real job, which is being a really cool guitarist. So we got that in there. And you know, thinking about it, there's still a lot more surprises. There's a lot more things to talk about. But, you know, they're coming. They're coming. And you know, I appreciate everybody's patience. I appreciate the community that we've built on our Wizard of Oz group. The group is kind of interesting. It's kind of just like Munchkin Land in a way. We're an RGP. We get to fight with each other and stuff like that. But on the Wizard of Oz group, it's more like Munchkin Land where everybody kind of gets along more or less. So it's pretty good. I haven't had to moderate it. I haven't had to delete much. I haven't had to step in and say much. It's just there's a lot of excitement, which I really appreciate. So anybody else have anything? No? Okay, well, I think I've talked long enough, right? I fulfilled my everybody's tired of hearing me. My wife doesn't want to hear me talk. I'm going back in a little while. I'll be back in Jersey tonight around midnight. So tomorrow I'll be cutting the lawn. Well, if anybody knows a good gardener in New Jersey, let me know. You know, every year we go through gardeners, so can I tell you? I'll be cutting the lawn tomorrow. That's about it. Thank you all. Thank you.